to crown him Lord of all.
Yes.
Helps us to lift our hands. So there you are in your living rooms or wherever you're watching from. You get to do it with me. We crown you Lord of all this morning, O God. This next hymn is it's a wonderful old hymn of the church. So many of you have heard the stories that have arisen about St. Francis of Assisi. We've heard so many stories that sometimes we can't separate the fact from the fiction.
Yeah.
We know that he was born, get this, in 1182 in central Italy, the son of a rich merchant person. And after a scanty education, Francis joined the army and was captured in war. He came to Christ shortly after his release, renounced his wealth, and began traveling about the countryside, preaching the gospel, living simply, seeking to make Christ real to everyone he met. Now, Francis loved nature, and many stories spotlight his interaction with animals.
Yeah.
Once, as he was hiking through Italy's Spoleto Valley, he came upon a flock of birds. When they didn't fly away, he decided to preach to them a little sermon. "My brother and sister birds," he said, "you should praise your Creator and always love Him. He gave you feathers for clothes, wings to fly, and all other things you need. It is God who made you home in thin, pure air. And without sowing or reaping, you receive God's guidance and protection."
Yeah.
The flock, it is said, flew off rejoicing.
Amen.
Kind of like we should do this morning. Now, that perspective is reflected in a hymn that Francis composed just before his death in 1225. It's called The Song of Brother Sun. It exhorts all creation to worship God, the sun and the moon, all the birds, all the clouds, wind and fire, all men of every heart, all creatures of our God and King. Now, though this was written in 1225, the English version didn't appear until 1919. When the Reverend William H. Draper decided to use it for one of his children's worship festivals in Leeds, England. But the sound theology of this song, wow, let everything worship the Lord, all creatures of our God and King.
Amen.
Let's sing together. Hallelujah. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. You've probably heard of the Wesley brothers from Methodist history. The Wesley brothers sent word of their conversion to their sainted mother, Susanna. So just picture that you're a mother, your two sons are off learning about the world. They're not necessarily learning things that they should learn or behaving the way they should behave. You've tried to raise them the best you could, but let's face it, sometimes people go astray.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, anyway, so then you get word that they've given their heart to Christ. So this is the letter she got, and she didn't know what to make of it. She said, "I think you have fallen into an odd way of thinking. You say that till within a few months you had no spiritual life and no justifying faith. I heartily rejoice that you have attained to a strong and lively hope in God's mercy through Christ. Not that I can think that you were totally without saving faith before, but it is one thing to have faith and another thing to be sensible." We have it. You can just kind of hear a mother anguishing. How are they? Are they real? Is this, well, you know what? I'll just give praise to God. My boys have come to faith. Well, Charles, he was now very sensible. That's an old English word of saying he was very reasonable. He was into this faith. His life changed. And he gained victory over both his temper and his unfortunate drinking habit. I was amazed, he writes, to find my old enemy, intemperance, so suddenly subdued that I almost forgot I was even in bondage to him. I find it interesting that he says, in bondage to him, and not it.
Yes.
He was anthropomorphizing the drinking habit, but not making it human, realizing this came from the devil.
Yes.
Well, he had also began to spread the news of what had happened to him. In the coach to London, he said, "I preached faith in Christ. A lady was extremely offended and threatened to beat me. I declared I deserved nothing but hell. And so did she. And must confess it before she could have a little title to heaven." Now, this was most intolerable to her. The message doesn't always get through. New vitality came into Charles's public preaching. He discontinued the practice of reading sermons, and he began to just preach extemporaneously. Wherever he could find a group, he was going to speak to them. As the first anniversary of his conversion approached, he wrote an 18-stanza hymn describing his praise to the Lord. Now don't worry, we're not going to sing all 18 stanzas. We're going to be okay. The first stanza began, "Glory to God and praise and love." And verse 7 began, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." Beginning with a 1767 hymn book, the seventh stanza was made the first, and we now have this great hymn of the church, "Oh, for a thousand tongues." Let's sing it together.
Triumphs of
help us, Lord, to spread that through all of the planet. Help us to be those missionaries you've called us to be.
Yeah.
The last song I've picked for our worship time this morning is called, I'm calling it a statement song. It's a declaration of who Jesus is. And you may not know this song yet. It's not an ancient song of the church. It's a more modern song. But you can still sing along with the video. And if you find it too hard to sing along, just read the lyrics. Let it be a praise to God from you. The song is titled, There Was Jesus. The singer is Zach Williams. And you'll also hear an accompaniment part by Dolly Parton. Everywhere, all the time,
yes.
In every situation,
amen.
We can make a statement to the world and to him. Lord, I believe in you. I'm here.
Amen.
And I know you're here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. But it's good to get together and worship God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we were gathering in our regular way, we would have sent invitations to these next few people, these young folks who are graduating this year. I've loved that in spite of the shutdown due to the viral captivity we're in, schools are graduating their students and doing wonderful things. I was so proud of the public school here in Banks. They took signs of all the graduates and put them in the along the road, up and down on both sides of Highway 47 in front of the school, close to 100 of them, I guess, stating their name and congratulating them. Reader boards all over the country, even ABC News on National gave a tribute to graduates this year. We don't want any person who's been denied that ceremony they've waited, let's say, 12 years for. We don't want them feeling left out. So we also at Dayspring want to recognize the graduates that are a part of our fellowship. Elsie Irving has just graduated from the 8th grade. And so, Elsie, if you're watching, you can see this. Come and get it. Alex Menke graduated from high school. Madison Irving graduated from high school. Richard Losley and Craig Christensen Jr. each graduated from high school this year. May the Lord bless them. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we just pause for a minute to give you thanks for these young folks. We ask that as they launch out into whatever comes next, that you'll be right with them, that they too can say, there was Jesus every minute. So bless them, I ask you today, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. It's a little difficult to have corporate prayer, but wherever you are, I trust that you'll be able to pause during the day and have some time with God. Pray for your church. Go through the church directory and let some names just kind of be highlighted off the page as the Spirit gives you unction, and pray for one another. It's a good thing to do. Well, we began this morning singing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Wow. Something happens. Something happens to us when we praise him.
Yeah.
It's not just the music. All kinds of music gets our minds off of daily stuff. But praise songs not only get our minds off the daily grind, but praise songs put our mind onto Jesus Christ. And then we remembered St. Francis of Assisi in the year 1225, of all things, writing a song put on his heart by a bunch of birds, who he then began to preach to, exhorting us all to praise God. for how he takes care of us.
Yes.
Dear one, he takes care of us.
Yes, he does.
I think the more we can focus on praise to him, the more we can realize how he takes care of us.
Yeah.
Then Charles Wesley finds himself in personal ruin with a bad temper and a drinking habit. Does that sound like anyone you know? But God shows up in his life and immediately changes him.
Hallelujah.
And Charles recognizes it is God, and he begins to preach the gospel of Christ to anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
Even on the public buses, often getting himself into trouble. We sang the Promise Keepers version of that from a wonderful men's movement of a few years ago. This is a time when men from all over the world were being called not only together, but to understand that God is the promise maker and Jesus is the promise keeper, and we should follow him, yes, and keep our promises.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
Amen. So there's a promise in the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 11, verse 9. You don't need to turn there, but you can if you want. Here it is. It's a very quick verse. Seek and you shall find. The promise is that those who determine to find and know the Lord Jesus will surely do so. Over 2,000 years of testimonies since his resurrection, they shout not only to the saving power of Jesus Christ, but also to the changing power of Jesus Christ. You know, but like the broken people that we are, we too quickly try to use or manipulate this newfound relationship. We try to get Jesus to be our buddy and to do things for us. Our prayers can become like a shopping list that we want Jesus to go out and fill. Hello, I need this, this, and this. I'll pick it up in 45 minutes. And then when he doesn't perform for us the way that we want, he doesn't answer our prayers our way, we can reject him.
Yeah.
We fall away. The writer of James speaks directly to this. In chapter 4, he tells us that if you ask for things from life instead of from God, you ask amiss. That is, you're asking out of your own desire for fulfillment, instead of really asking and seeking the Lord. Father, what do you want for me in this day? When Jesus said these simple words, come to me, he was promising relationship. He was offering salvation, yes, but it did mean that you had to leave the world and come to him. We can't be with Jesus in a place that he won't go. Think about this. If you ask someone to come with you, and then you begin to go somewhere they don't want to go, chances are they're going to vocalize that. Chances are they're going to say, no, I don't want to do that. Chances are they're going to try and have a contest with you. And if you overpower them and you force them to go along with you, chances are they're not going to want to participate, or if they do so, it won't be good. Jesus isn't going to go to a place that he shouldn't go. We can't be with Jesus by demanding that he be where we want to be, if such is contrary to his way. To come to Jesus means to let go and to follow him. We sang a declaration song called There Was Jesus. It confirms that he is with us wherever we go, even in the bad places. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you just tell me Jesus wouldn't go where a bad place? I said, well, wait a minute. So let's work this out. First, I said, Jesus won't go with you to somewhere that he doesn't want to be. But then I said, wait a minute, Jesus is going to be with you all the time. He reaches out to us. He is calling us. He is ready to heal, save, and deliver. But we have to go to him. It's almost like he says, come to me. And we say, okay, I'll come to you, but first. Boy, we need to learn how to eliminate that from our vocabulary.
Yeah.
Think of all the testimonies that we know. Listen to this. Have you ever heard this testimony? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was bound up, but now I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then, he says, after, come to me. He says, follow me. The first words of Christ that will be spoken to you through the power of the Holy Spirit in that inner man will be some form of him calling you to him. Come to me. And we'll resist and we'll fight and we'll just try and negotiate our way around everything. He says, come to me. And finally, in some set of desperation or brokenness, we say, okay, here I am, Lord. Here I am, I'm yours. Peace kind of floods over the person and you feel a newfound freedom. It's happened. He's come to you. He's let you know he loves you. He's touched you. And you have a period of kind of euphoria as a new born-again Christian.
Yeah.
Everything is majestic and wonderful, and you love being in love with God. I hope you've experienced some of that. And then, at some point in time after that euphoria, he will say, now follow me. What? Follow me. Well, where are you going? Wherever the Father tells me. Well, what are we going to do? Whatever Dad has us do. We move, you see, from lost to found, from blind to sighted, from dead to life, from those in bondage to those in freedom. We move through that progression. And then he puts us to the test. Not just to obey in some legal sense, but to follow in a very real life sense. I believe that God has in store for us far better things than we think. I think most people I meet have a little bit of an insecurity. Most people I meet seem to think somewhere inside them they don't measure up the way they should. They're not all they should be. They don't deserve God's blessings, blah, blah, blah. We beat ourselves up relentlessly because the world is beating us up. And Jesus is coming along to reassure us, I've got better things for you. I promise you, follow me, and I will be with you. So as we follow him, oh my gosh, the chains fall away, the scales drop off, the powers of hell are broken, and the glory of God begins to fill us. And then he begins to use us. Come to me, follow me, let me equip you, let me empower you, and now I'm going to use you in service.
Amen.
Wow. You see, it kind of starts with us wanting to use him. Because we want what we want when we want it, right?
Yeah.
But as we come to him and follow him, he begins to use us for his purposes. Not ours. And that's why we move from praise to blessing, from hymns of praise to statement songs of declaration, with a message from God's word, and now we close with a wonderful benediction. It's called the blessing song. Now, if you want to sing it, fine, sing along, but let it bless you. Let this message of God wash over you and infuse your spirit. The Lord bless you. He is for you.
Hallelujah.
He is with you.
Yeah.
He's behind you. He's beside you.
Yeah.
God loves you.
Amen.
And he's calling you to be with him.
Amen.
Wow. It's good to be together. I hope you've enjoyed worshiping the Lord this morning. I look forward to getting together when the shutdown is over. God bless you today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Pastor Skip out.